Please welcome Henry Schaufuss.
My story is about a football player. He first showed up around the mid-1950s. He was born in 1933, grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Played football in high school. He was the quarterback. His parents were from Lithuania. After high school, he went to college, but not to a large school. They passed him up. He went to a smaller school, the University of Louisville, graduated, and then was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers in the 9th round, kind of a mid-round choice. And went to training camp with the Steelers, but they were pretty well set at quarterback, so they never bothered to take a good look at him. In fact, he never threw a pass through the entire training camp and was released at the end of the exhibition season. Now, when this happens, most players figure their football playing days are over. But this fella was determined to make it. And he was not discouraged, not by a long shot. So his next step was to sign up with a semi-pro team called the Bloomfield Rams. And for $6 a game, they played on a dirt field. In the meantime, he had gotten married and he was starting a family. So he was working in construction at that time. Sometime during the season, a passing scout stopped by to take a look at one of the games. And he noticed this quarterback and liked what he saw. So he placed an 80-cent phone call to the general manager of the Baltimore Colts, Don Kellett, and recommended this player to Mr. Kellett. And Kellett followed through, and the following season, this young player was invited to the training camp with the Baltimore Colts. And he made the team as the backup quarterback. Now, the Colts at that time were a second division team. They had, 2 years before, they had finished in last place with a 3-9 record. But their rebuilding program was in progress, and they were starting to gel. Their starting quarterback at that time was a fellow named George Shaw, who had been an All-American quarterback at Oregon. He had been the first round draft, the number one draft choice the year before. In the fourth game of the season against the Chicago Bears, George Shaw was hurt. He had to come out of the game, and the young rookie quarterback went in to take over. His first pass was intercepted and run back for a touchdown. And the game quickly turned into a rout, and the Chicago Bears won that game 56-27. After the game, one of the sports writers came up to the head coach, Weeb Eubank, and asked him, "Who's going to be your quarterback next week? The kid didn't look very good." Eubank replied, "Well, it wasn't all his fault. I think he's got what it takes, and I'm going to stay with him. I like him." And that was the wonderful decision, because that player became very successful. And within 2 years, his team, the Baltimore Colts, were playing for the National Football League Championship against the New York Giants in Yankee Stadium. And I remember watching that game on television. That was December 1958. I was 20, I'm that old. I was 20 years old at the time, and it was a very exciting game. Ended in a tie, and then it went into overtime, and the Colts won it in overtime after the young quarterback engineered an 80-yard drive And their fullback, Alan the Horse Amici, went over for the winning touchdown. Now that game, after that game was over, sports writers started calling it the best pro football game that was ever played. And a lot of sports writers are still calling it that today. The young player, the quarterback, went on to play 14 years with the Baltimore Colts, set many records, was voted All-Pro many times, won three more championships, was a most valuable player three times, and after his career was over, went into the Hall of Fame. Now, besides his physical skills at the position, he had another quality that stood out that was very important. He had this leadership ability that brought the rest of his teammates together. They realized that he had the confidence, and it rubbed off on them. And as long as they did their jobs, they were going to be champions. And within 2 years, they were champions. And many sports writers and sports historians today, and fans like myself, look back on this fellow's career, and they still feel today that he was the best quarterback of them all. And I've told you a lot about him, everything except his name. So is anybody out there know who I've been talking about?
Johnny Unitas?
Right, Johnny Unitas. Johnny U, the fellow who came out of nowhere, didn't quit, and became a world champion. And he was very well named. He had the ability to unite his teammates and make them champions. And that's the story. But wait, there's more. After his career was over, Johnny Unitas and his family stayed in Baltimore, in the northern part of the town, actually not too far from where we lived, about a 10-minute drive away. They lived in a suburb called Timonium on the northern side of Baltimore City. And one of my high school classmates, Schatz Schaefer, also lived in Timonium. And after a while, she became acquainted with the Unitas family, Johnny and his wife, Dorothy. And later on, they became very good friends. Now, Schatz and her husband, John, had two young daughters, Gretchen and Heidi. And when they became teenagers, Johnny Unitas and his wife Dorothy would call them up periodically whenever they were going out for a movie or maybe dinner or whatever, and have tell Dorothy to send one of the girls over to be the babysitter. And so that's what they did. And the last time I was in Baltimore, let's see, that was I think 3 years ago for a high school reunion, I got to meet one of the babysitters, Gretchen. And I was visiting with her father, John, and Gretchen and her husband had just returned from the Galapagos Islands off of the west coast of South America. And they brought a parcel of pictures along with them, and we looked at the pictures. They were swimming with sharks. They're not timid people. So I got acquainted with one of the babysitters there for the Johnny Unitas family. I had another classmate in elementary school at Friends School in Baltimore City. His name was Billy Schneiderite, And he lives in the same area too. His only in an adjoining suburb called Lutherville, but actually closer to the Unitas family. And Billy and his wife Linda had four boys, and the Unitas kids, they had Dorothy and John had five, became playmates. And one of the Unitas kids, a boy, had long blonde hair, and Billy kept mistaking him for a girl whenever they met. And he did this about three or four times, and finally the kid got tired of it, and he yelled out at Billy, "I'm not a girl, I'm a boy! I'm a boy!" And after that, Billy didn't make that mistake again. Now, there's one final story, and this involves my doctor here in San Luis Obispo, Dr. Daniel R. Lewis. I first started seeing him about 18 or 19 years ago, and he's a good man. He saved my life. And when one of my office visits later on, as we got better acquainted, he asked me where I was from, and I told him from Baltimore, Maryland. And he wanted to know what part. And so I told him, well, we lived around Towson, Lock Raven Village. Then he asked me where I went to high school. And I told him, well, I went to Towson High School. And he said, funny thing, Hank, that's where I went to school. Graduated from there in 1965, 9 years after I did. Uh-huh. One final thing. His mom still lives in Baltimore, and I got acquainted with her on my whenever I went back to Baltimore for class reunions, I would stop and visit with her. I did that about three times. She had been a nurse at one of the hospitals in Baltimore, and one fine day, a new patient showed up at the hospital, and she was assigned to be his nurse. She was a very good nurse. She was considered one of the best that they had. And because the patient that she was assigned to was Johnny Unitas, and who happened to be one of the best football players around. So what they did was they assigned the best to the best. And that's my story.